RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We're back with more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Well, I mean, I think as a whole, I mean, they did enough to win the game. I like,
yes,
I like what, you know, they did early in the game. I thought they came out to short passing game, you know, knowing that Brian Flores is going to come after you and show a bunch of different blitzes. I like that plan early. I thought they did some good things outside of the wide receiver screens early in the game. You know, but again, I want to continue to see them push the ball down the field and take shots and give Justin opportunities to show what he's capable of, you know, like he did on that last drive.
That was Kurt Warner talking to Parkinson Spiegel, as he does after Bears games, right here on 670 The Score. I am Gabe Ramirez, along with Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL vet, hanging out till 9 o'clock. We're going to be talking to Carmen Vitale from Fox Sports at just around 7:20. Make sure you guys are here for that. But the question that was asked before the break was simple. Bears are going to have two top 10 picks. That we know. But what two positions do you feel like they should address? I say quarterback and offensive tackle, left tackle to be specific. And Clay Harbor says wide receiver and edge rusher, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, build around your stud quarterback.
But what if he's not a stud? I hate to derail the conversation right there, but what if he's not? Then what? Let's just live there, right? Because you're living in a space where he is, right? So let's live equally. Let's give it, well, and let's go down that path. And what if he doesn't?
All right, I got some numbers for you. He's 27.
Tyson Bagent?
No, Justin Fields is 27th in passing yards per game. He's 23rd in QBR, which is the all-encompassing quarterback rating system. He's 18th best according to PFF, and he has a 64% completion percentage. He has a 20% sack rate compared to Tyson Bagent's 8%. So to me, that's not an elite quarterback. But if you even think about moving on, you got to be sure, like, who are you moving on to? The Cubs wouldn't have fired David Ross if Craig Counsell wasn't there. You got to know that Caleb Williams is the guy, that Drake May is the guy. You got to be sure that you're making the right move, because you could set this franchise back several more years if you trade Fields and draft one of these guys that aren't the guy.
That's why keeping both of them is imperative to me, because then you get to have the best of both worlds. You get to figure out, like, and to me, that is a position that the Bears have not been in forever. And to have two quarterbacks that you get to choose from, and you actually get to see it play out in front of your eyes instead of hoping and wishing.
That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen.
I think it is.
I don't think that's going to happen. So it's like,
if you get a new GM, if you get a new GM, Clay, he's taking a quarterback, right?
But he's not keeping Justin Fields then. He's going to trade away Justin Fields. He's going to bring in a veteran backup.
It's like you're saying
you got two girlfriends. You can't have two girlfriends, Gabe. Here's what you can do, though.
You can have
a girl that you know is, if she, you know she's there when you break up with your girl, then you can go move on to the next.
What happens the last time you went from one girlfriend to the next? You had your girlfriend, then you started talking to the new one, and then you broke up with the old one, and then you kept going. And
you can't overlap.
But you did that.
No, I didn't.
Look at you laughing. No. I know you did. Alex Kuhn, he did that, our producer. Me, no. I didn't do that, actually. So that's
no.
Not right. But let's go to the phones, man. Let's take a couple before we go head on out to go catch Carmen Vitale. Let's go to Mike from Cicero. Mike, Bears are going to be having two top 10 picks. This we know. What two positions should they address?
The biggest positions I think they got to address. They got to get a new center. But you don't need a first or fourth round, first round draft pick for that. Probably, I would trade the first pick to some team that needs a quarterback and take as many assets as I could, including their first round 2025.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to trade it out. And the thing is this, right? Here's I love the idea of having the first pick in the draft and getting assets in return to then continue to build your team for the future. Here is the one big red exclamation point. You know how when you go check out for an item and then they're like, oh, you didn't fill in your email address, and it's red and it's big and it's this part right here, right?
I'm so curious to see where you're going with this.
Is that and the big red thing is that you've had two number one picks 2 years in a row. You keep trading, and at no point you've had one of the worst quarterback histories in the NFL in terms of success rate, and you have two number one picks, and at no point do you say to yourself, I should probably take a quarterback to try to fix this team and fill in the situation or fill in the position that we've never had before. At no point you think that.
Well, you think back to 2021, the reason you didn't have or 2020, the reason you didn't have a 2021 first round draft pick was because you traded an extra first round draft pick for a quarterback. So now you have that quarterback and you don't want to have to get rid of him after investing so much into him.
Okay. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Jim from Fox Lake, two top 10 picks. What positions are you addressing?
Well, I'm going to get a quarterback, but it's not going to be Caleb Williams. Don't like his attitude. 33 fumbles in 3 years, way too much. Wants to have ownership as part of his compensation. Too young to make that choice. So I'm going to get Marvin Harrison with the first pick, tighten up that wide receiver core, and I'm going to go for Bo Nix out of Oregon.
The problem with Bo Nix, he's going to go in the first round. But he's probably going to be 17th or something like that. So you have to trade down that second pick.
Pretty far down.
And then make that happen. I don't like Bo Nix. Not my thing. Something about guys that have been in college football for a very long time and haven't been able to get out due to their success. I know he was injured. But he's just not, I don't know. Teams on the West Coast, Pac-12 teams, Oregon, right? Washington, UCLA. You see DTR from Cleveland right now, who just got injured, actually. Seeing those teams... it's high scoring, not a ton of defense, just kind of backyard football. So they scare me. Teams from the Pac-12 scare me.
No, they do scare me a little bit too, but there has been successful quarterbacks from those conferences. But to go back to what you said before the first round draft pick.
Yeah, I like this.
Poles did get DJ Moore, who is a top five receiver this year, hands down. He's got the best he's got the fewest targets in the top 10 receivers, and he's fifth in yards. This guy is efficient. Pass rating when targeted is 120. Then you get Darnell Wright still, and you get this first-round pick. So they are getting a lot in return for these first-round draft picks.
It's not they got Tyreek Stevenson.
And they got Tyreek Stevenson. So it's not like you're getting anything in return, nothing in return for these picks. So I still think... if you do this twice in a row.
But Clay, remember, that was intentional, right? They knew they were going to go with Justin Fields because they knew this year's draft class was better than last year's, right? Or what they felt. And so they set themselves up to be able to evaluate Justin Fields. But it's like a inconclusive, right? So it's got to be a fail.
Let me ask you this. Did they, knowing what you know now, did the Bears miss on C.J. Stroud, who is a MVP candidate right now?
No, I don't think they missed for the reason that you just brought up, right?
You don't think they missed on C.J. Stroud?
I think this team, remember, Clay, my number one goal is for the Bears to be in the playoffs for 10 years straight. And in order for them to do that, they have to build some sort of foundation. They're not going to win the Super Bowl 10 years straight, but they could be in the playoffs 10 years straight. And in order to do that, you had to have made your team better. And they did do that by bringing in DJ Moore, like you mentioned, by bringing in Tyreek Stevenson. This year, having now the number one pick in the draft, which is, unreal that they're able to do that. And then they could potentially trade. I want my team to be better. So I think last year it was what needed to be done because you still had to see what you had in Justin Fields. And now this year they've set themselves up to be exactly what the position that they wanted to be in. We saw what we have in Justin Fields. They're going to have to make the determination whether they want to move on from him or not. and we have draft capital, and we continue to make this team better for the next couple of years so that that way they can be in the playoffs for that. But, you know, in order to do that, it's going to take this draft, and that's why we're asking this question. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Clay Harbor. It's 670, The Score. Let's go to Ash out in Palatine. Ash, Bears got two picks in the top 10. What two positions are you addressing?
Hey, Gabe, just want to say a hello to a fellow Lane Tech alum.
Hey, let's go, Lane Tech.
Lane Tech, baby. But, yeah, I'm saying but that first pick, we get the first pick, trade down a couple of slots, get Marvin Harrison. That second pick, get Brock Bowers, throw him in the slot. If we lose Mooney, two tight end set.
Great offense.
And ooh, you can't have a better slot guy than Bowers and have the Cole Kmet, your inline tight end. Start both those guys, have Harrison and Moore on the outside, and destroy everybody.
Who's good? Man.
That's not bad.
So you want Darnell Mooney, excuse me, you want DJ Moore and Marvin Harrison, and then you want Cole Kmet inside. And then
that could be some Gronk Hernandez type stuff right there, because Cole Kmet can block. He reminds me of Gronk. I told you, when I went on the field at Bears training camp, I stood up next. I play with Rob Gronkowski. I stood up next to Cole Kmet. I go, no way, this is Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is about 6'7". This guy's a mile. He looked like the dude off of Happy Gilmore. I believe that belongs to Mr. Gilmore. You know, bangs him in that. This dude is big. That is Gronk right there, man. Okay. And he's having a great season.
But then you don't address, you address no defense, you address no offensive line. What about all the win? You got to win in the trenches. And let's not forget, do you trust a Justin Fields then to be able to, you know, feed all these beasts on the field at the same time? Like, do you trust that?
Yes.
Has he shown that he can do that?
I actually like that call from Ash right there.
Has he shown that he can do that?
He hasn't. He's shown he can do it. He hasn't shown he can do it consistently. Mm. To me, Fields, you look back at the last few games before the injury and after the injury, he's looked good. Last week was a weird game plan because of what the Vikings were doing with all the blitzing. Flores, they wanted to counteract that with, obviously, the screen games, get the ball out quick. He's shown he can do it. He just hasn't shown he can do it consistently. And I think if you put Cole Kmet with a guy like Brock Bowers, Cole Kmet, fourth in the league in tight ends and reception, ninth in yards, third in touchdowns, 109 pass rating when target. Brock Bowers is an explosive athlete, a guy that can run around, catch passes. You bring in Marvin Harrison Jr., you put him alongside DJ Moore. I think that's an elite offense. And then you have no excuses. DJ Moore has 1,000 yards and only 93 targets, the fewest targets of anyone with 1,000 targets in the top 10, 76 completion percentage when targeted, 11 contested catches, 123 passer rating when targeted. This could be a good offense, but can Fields get him the ball consistently?
And that's going to be the problem. Week in and week out, you wasted all these draft picks on guys that, you know, you're not even using. How mad are we when we see DJ Moore get two receptions or two targets? How mad are we when we see Cole Kmet get, you know, 30 yards in a game? What are you going to do if you add two more offensive weapons on there? It might be a recipe for frustration, but we never know. That's why we're asking the question, though, right? That was Ash's opinion in Palatine. We have ours. What's yours? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Wilbur out in Wakanda. Wilbur, what are the two positions you're addressing?
Well, first of all, I got to say, Eberflus isn't going anywhere, nowhere. He's going to be the coach for the next 2 years. And I think we're going to get Marvin Harris Jr. and an offensive tackle. You can never have enough of them. Look what Kansas City does every year. They always draft an offensive tackle. And I believe that Justin Fields is going to be our quarterback of the future as well.
Yeah, I mean, he thinks everything's staying the same, and just add Marvin Harrison Jr. and an offensive tackle.
No, Eberflus has shown me something since he's taken over the defense. He's done a nice job, and he's looked better since you've got him these pieces. With that 4-3 cover 2 look, you need dogs. Montez Sweat is a dog. He's a guy that can pressure the passer, and obviously he's going to run
affect the game for sure.
Yeah, and then you got his linebackers. So you're seeing what Eberflus can do when he has the dogs around him, the players that he needs. So I'm a little bit higher on Eberflus than I was since he's taken over the defensive coordinator job. Yeah. I think he's done a good job there, and obviously that's what he was in Indy, his defensive coordinator. So I think Eberflus does stay too.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, man. We get the opportunity to talk about that with our next guest. What does she think about the future of Coach Eberflus, and what would she take with the Bears' two picks in the top 10? I'm talking about Carmen Vitale, the NBC North reporter, for Fox Sports. She joins us next.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's Clay Harbor. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, those two phones, bro. Appreciate y'all. Just want to say appreciate y'all for sticking on my side, believing in me, bro.
Appreciate you, boy.
You feel me? Love all y'all, boy.
Clay, that sounded kind of zesty. We believe in you, boy.
Yeah.
When somebody was like, hey, my bad. No. Just play it again. Play the beginning. Pull it up again for me. Alex Kuhn, pull up that clip for me one more time.
A new beginning right here.
Let me say something before we end it.
Go ahead.
Hey, those two phones, bro. Appreciate y'all. Just want to say appreciate y'all for sticking on my side, believing in me, bro.
Appreciate you, boy.
You feel me? Love all y'all, boy.
Yeah,
what do you think about it? People made a big deal about it. Eberflus said something about it. It's Gabe Ramirez, 9-year NFL vet, Clay Harbor here on 670 The Score. You know, obviously Eberflus brought it up, highlighted it. Did you think? Like, what did you think? Is it fluff? You know, if you're playing for the Bears and you hear Justin say that, are you still pissed at him? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, for him saying that, sorry,
it
was like,
you know, just at the end, the right? It was like in the middle of Eberflus's, like, he was like wrapping up his speech, and then he came out and said it one more time, like, hey guys, my bad, real quick. I just want to say.
I don't care what you say. I don't care what happens in the locker. Your play on the field's got to get better. That's all that matters, in my opinion. You can say, you know, my fault, my bad.
So it's an eye-rolling moment for you. If you were playing tight end for the Bears in that moment, QB1 comes
It goes without saying.
Yeah.
Right. We all know we're out here trying to make plays and to win the game. Obviously, he wasn't trying to fumble the ball twice. He wasn't trying to get 13 points off of 4 interceptions. You know, obviously.
Damn.
No, I'm just saying. Obviously, he wants to be
do better. So he doesn't need to say that. That's what I'm
trying
to get
at. Goes without saying.
I like it. I like it.
Goes without saying.
Some people say it's good leadership. Yeah. Huh? Well, we get to talk to our next guest about that, about the direction of the Chicago Bears. And, you know, we'll actually tap in on who she thinks the Bears should take with those two top 10 picks, or what they're hoping to be two top 10 picks. Right now, joining us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois, she covers the NFC North for Fox Sports, and amongst a myriad of other things, you can catch her on NBC Sports Chicago. It's Carmen Vitale. Carmen, welcome to the show again. Thanks for coming on.
Of course, anytime. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing great,
we're having
Carmen.
It's been a good conversation for the better portion of a half an hour about this draft. So let's start there. We had Dane Brugler on earlier, who thinks, you know, Joe Alton and Caleb Williams, you know, should be members of the Chicago Bears. Two top 10 picks. What positions would you be addressing if you were the Bears in that situation?
Other than quarterback, or are we
oh,
there?
Sure, no. I'm there too, Carmen. I said it. I said the Bears still should take a quarterback in this situation.
Carmen, Gabe's saying some off the wall stuff here.
He's
saying the Bears should draft a quarterback and keep Justin Fields and then have a quarterback competition.
I know you keep calling it a quarterback competition. I don't have it. It's not a quarterback competition. It's
Justin Fields
starting week one, And then you get you let the rookie see what to and what not to do. And then, like I said, Ryan Poles has been a guy who has zero fear of making a trade at the deadline and moving on from someone or giving him the opportunity to succeed.
Listen, Justin Fields is an Alex Smith here. He's not Kirk Cousins even. He's not a guy that's a veteran in this league that's figured it out that someone needs to learn from. He's still trying to learn himself, and
whether he can
or not, I'm not here to tell you whether he can't or not, but he is not in a position to even mentor someone right now. He's got to put all of his own energy into what he can do on the field because his play has been anything but consistent, which is why I think they should go quarterback, because you're hoping beyond hope that you are not in this position again where you are picking this high. And I realize that the top pick is probably going to come from Carolina, but you don't want to leverage that future and hold on past the point of no return with Justin Fields. And this gives you an opportunity by taking a quarterback to reset that timetable. You get 5 years of a team-controlled contract so that the money that you're going to have to spend in free agency can go elsewhere to the trenches, hopefully. And you can bring guys in and have them develop alongside this quarterback. Because I personally don't think the Bears roster is that far away anymore. I think that Ryan Poles has quietly put together a really good team, save for maybe a couple of different additions here, that an incoming quarterback is going to be in a really good spot to learn and grow.
Yeah, I really feel like Poles hit the nail on the head when he called Montez Sweat a multiplier, because he makes players on this defense better with that pressure. Now you're getting more balls, tip balls. Now you have the rest of the defensive ends, defensive interior players getting blocked one-on-one. So, I mean, he's definitely multiplying the defense. So if they do take – two questions for you. If they do take a quarterback, are you going Caleb or are you going Drake? And then me and Gabe have been going back and forth on this. Did the Bears miss last year on C.J. Stroud, knowing what you know now? If you see the player he is, would you go back in time and draft C.J. Stroud?
I don't think so, just because I don't think that it would have been the same situation necessarily. There was no way to know that. I mean, hindsight is 20/20, and it's a dangerous game to play at this point. I don't think anyone saw C.J. Stroud out-dueling Bryce Young this early, this quickly, especially in the situation he was in Houston. And I guess by that account, maybe he would have been fine in Chicago, because the situations in Houston and Chicago were actually pretty similar.
3-13-1. Yes, they were not good.
Yeah, and the defensive first-time head coach, the first-time play caller at OC. I think the Bears have more offensive talent than the Texans have this year, and they have a better offensive line. I keep saying that the offensive line isn't the issue here in Chicago anymore. I don't think they're the best offensive line in the league,
Just
I think they're right around the midpoint. Yeah,
yeah.
And I talked about needing a good kind of experienced center too, which I don't necessarily think Lucas Patrick had the longevity. That's why I was kind of in favor of Cody Whitehair taking over in that spot, because he had more snaps, center position, more experience there. He can identify things for the quarterback, make those checks, kind of help take some stuff off the plate of a quarterback so that he can do his job a little bit better. But that clearly didn't work out. So I think that that's on the list of needs. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you couldn't move on from Justin this last year without seeing what he was like in the second year of a system and really surrounding him with enough talent and seeing if you really had something, because you don't want to spend a ton of capital and stuff on another quarterback. You didn't take Justin that long ago. If you didn't have to take a quarterback, that's an ideal scenario for the Chicago Bears. Then you can spend all these crazy picks on a Marvin Harrison or whoever you want. But I just don't think that's the case for the Bears right now.
We're talking to Carmen Vitale right here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, along with 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor. Carmen, you know, you're looking at this Bears team and you're seeing, you know, Justin Fields with the last two performances against Detroit and then against Minnesota, not necessarily helping his case, right, for being here. You look at him, what do you feel like are the unfixable issues with Justin Fields?
Honestly, it's all about consistency, because that's what I think we all wanted to see out of Justin. Was you have these wonderful, amazing performances earlier in the season, and then even after he gets back from his injury, and you're like, okay, this is the ceiling. Can you perform closer to the ceiling for an extended amount of time? Can you be consistent? And we haven't seen that. And I haven't seen Justin really be able to sit back there and survey the field. Nobody's looking at on defense, throw with anticipation, get to his third, fourth, fifth read. It doesn't always happen. It shouldn't always happen because no quarterback has that amount of time. But I don't see it on a consistent basis from Justin Fields either. And I don't see the system lining up with his skill set on a consistent basis either. There's a reason the Bears are scoring on their first drives of the game and looking good on their first drives of the game, and then it all falls apart after that because those plays are scripted.
Yeah.
You know in advance what those plays are. So, you can't take – you have to take those out of the equation because that's not how this works.
Yeah,
you know?
Fourth quarter Fields. I just saw a stat today where his passer rating in the fourth quarter is 15 points lower than it is in the first three quarters. Mm. And his yards and everything. And it's like it's the same – the fourth quarter is as much time as there are in the first three quarters, Gabe. It's the same amount of time. Are they switching quarters up on my man? Like, why is this happening to him? I don't get it. Carmen.
The coach has got to tell him that it's the first quarter.
It's the first quarter, Justin. It's still the first quarter.
Honestly, Courtney Cronin has a great piece in her – or some great stats in her article about Justin Fields inside 2 minutes left in the game. And yeah, it's not good.
Not good.
It's not good.
So let's stay in the NFC North. I saw your great follow on Twitter, by the way. You guys got to follow Carmen on Twitter. But you brought up a valid point, and we're talking about another quarterback here in the NFC North, and I hate to say it, I think you might be right. I think the Green Bay Packers might have found
the
heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. And you look at the last 4 weeks, weeks 9 to 12, he's a fifth-rated passer on Pro Football Focus. He's looked good. He's been winning more. He's getting the ball out. His young receivers are catching the ball better. Carmen, tell me I'm wrong, but to me it looks like Jordan Love is turning in to what Aaron Rodgers was with Brett Favre.
Y'all, my trolls have gotten real quiet because when I started saying that I thought Jordan Love was going to be good prior to this season – granted, it was because I thought, you know, Green Bay's defense was going to live up to its talent level. I thought that offensive line was going to be a brick wall. I thought he was going to have a reliable backfield in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. None of that has come to fruition the way that they were hoping it was going to. And yet, Jordan Love has persevered. And yes, there was a lull. They had a four-game skid, and things weren't looking so great. But he's throwing to guys that have been in the league for not even half a season. He's throwing to guys that have only been in the league for a season and a half. So as much as it was about Jordan Love learning and grasping the offense, it was also about his receivers learning the timing on the routes, learning his sticks, learning how he likes to get the ball out, where he's looking, where his options are. And then when all that happened and you got some continuity on the offensive line, finally, Matt LaFleur also ended up trusting the offensive line, the skill players, Jordan Love himself. Now he's opened up the playbook. And now you're starting to see what Jordan Love actually looks like in the offense that they want to run. And that's been the biggest difference over these last few weeks. It just takes time. It's not sexy, but this thought that he could come out the gate, and I know he beat the Bears right out of the gate, so I think he kind of set expectations for himself too high too early. But this stuff takes time, and all of that chemistry takes time. And if you now look at the numbers that Jordan Love is on pace for, they are almost identical
eerily
to Aaron Rodgers' first season.
Eerily similar. Yeah. I
literally said that in my article earlier this week, was eerily similar.
Yeah, and you're looking at the Green Bay Packers. I mean, obviously, you know, one game right now outside of the playoffs, and the team that they're looking at above them is the Minnesota Vikings. Justin Jefferson looking like, you know, the window just opened up for him to come back. Do you have enough faith for them to leapfrog, you know, Minnesota? You see Seattle's next couple of games, too. Like, the next three games are against just like the toughest in the NFC. So, I mean, do you see them eking in easily? Like, you see the snowball rolling, or are you still cautiously optimistic about the Green Bay Packers?
No, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think it would be reckless to say that these guys are a playoff team now and that Jordan Love is a future Hall of Famer and all that other stuff. My own employer misquoted me saying that earlier in the season, and I don't want to talk about it, but that is not what I said. It was a complete – you watch the clip, it's not what I said. Anyway – I think that's all very premature, but you also have to feel good about the foundation that Jordan Love is building in Green Bay, and you have to feel good about the fact that come the end of the season, playoffs or not, you are going to have a good enough evaluation to determine whether or not Jordan Love is your guy going forward and whether or not to extend him and make him your quarterback of the future.
I found the stat on Fields, by the way, guys. So here's the deal, Gabe. First quarter rating, 85.4. Second quarter, 85.1. Third quarter, 102.3. Mm. Fourth quarter, 65.1.
Ouch.
Giveaways, 8 in the first, 10 in the second, 3 in the third, 17, NFL leading 17 giveaways in the fourth quarter since 2001, which is the most in the NFL. But Carmen, to switch gears a little bit, you are a Northwestern grad, aren't you?
I am. I went to grad school there.
So big year for them. Big win. They came away with the hat from the University of Illinois. David Braun just named Big Ten Coach of the Year. What's your feelings on this Northwestern football team? You proud of these guys?
I mean, they've had to struggle through a lot of stuff, but it's also one of those things where, like, nobody feels bad for Michigan because all of the trouble that they've gone through was their own making. Yeah. At the same time, I'm a very self-aware Northwestern fan. Like, this was a problem in your program. I'm not going to feel sorry for you for going through something when this was a problem of your own doing. This was not acceptable. It's not up to the standards that Northwestern holds itself to. I am glad they seem to have found some stability. And hopefully that can continue. But I'm not one of those, like, all right, no matter, you can do whatever you want, I'm still going to be a fan. Like, you need to act right.
Yeah.
And Northwestern needs to act right. So I'm proud of them for getting through the season.
Yeah.
And I bet against them in that game against Illinois.
How'd you get out of the market to do that?
Crazy game too, though. It was like 90 points scored.
It's a good one. What'd you think about the stadium situation that's been going on? A lot of opinions on both sides of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been to a game at Ryan Field, you might as well have gone to, like, if you've been to a high school game, I should say, you've been to a game at Ryan Field.
Yeah.
So I am excited for that because, I mean, you see the student-athlete center too, the training facility and everything like that that was built a few years ago. It's gorgeous, and it helps in recruiting. It helps in giving these guys the resources that they need to be students as well as athletes, because Northwestern is one of the rare big, you know, athletic schools that also demands a really good academic course load and making sure that your academics are up to par. So I feel like, you know, adding the stadium too is going to help in that recruiting part of everything and help them kind of get over the hump of having to contend with academic standards, where a lot of these guys that are coming out of high school, they're like, well, I just want to play football. And now it's like, well, now you can.
The academic standard. What did you study, Carmen? Were you a journalism major?
So I did my undergrad in journalism at Arizona State. And then at Northwestern, I was a sports admin. I got my master's in sports administration.
Look at that.
Oh, future agent or front office lady.
I just wanted to have something sports specific. Yeah. So I wanted something sports specific after I had the journalism degree already. And now I put them both together and look at me now.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job. Like Clay said, a great follow, and just, you know, we love what you contribute, not only to 670 The Score, but just to football as a whole, Carmen. We appreciate having
you. I appreciate you, Carmen.
Of course. Anytime, guys. Happy to come on.
Check her up on Twitter. Make sure you follow her at CarmiV. Not only tackling the NFC North, but just, you know, the NFL as a whole. Some great takes. And that's what we're doing, man. We give you guys just that. It's Gabe Ramirez. It is Clay Harbor. 670 The Score. Clay, what was your favorite team that you played for?
Eagles.
I get you.
I mean, they're doing the best right now. Honestly, Eagles and Jaguars, I'd say, are tied. Both of them are so different because you had the Eagles fan base, who's just this over-the-top, overzealous. They just love football. Loud, you drop a pass, they're going to let you hear about it. You don't win a game, you're going to be getting booed. Then you got the Jaguars. Then you walk into the grocery store, you're talking to somebody. You know, hey, what do you do, man? I play football. Oh, like professionally? Yeah. They go, wait, in Jacksonville? Oh, yeah, we got a team. They give us jerseys and everything, man. But still cool place. I do love the fans that the Jags have. The very far, you know, few and far between. But cool spot, man. Both of them are so different, but I love both places.
You think
places.
They're going to be one of those teams that go out to London? You know, because it seems like they're making the trek to, like, try to do one of those, or Mexico City or something like that.
They put together this huge, like, they've put together a ton of money into their whole complex down there.
Right.
The area, no, in Jacksonville, like, they've got new practice fields. They've got an indoor stadium. Shad Khan the owner. I don't see him going to London. I think they'll do what they did this year. They had two games in London, but they're not going to move the Jaguars to London.
Spent too much money over there.
Yeah, if they did move a team to London, it'd be Jacksonville, but I don't see that happening, man. That'd just be a nightmare for the team that was over there.
Yeah, man. I look at the NFL as a whole, and I'm looking at the Jags, look at the Eagles. You see the direction that they're headed in and what they're playing, and I'm just like, are you mad you never played for the Bears?
I had an opportunity to play for the Bears, but money talks, BS walks, and I told my agent, I go, hey, tell them, let them know that if they match this offer, I'm coming to Chicago. I'm a Bears fan. My family lives here. I go, just tell them to match it. They wouldn't get close to it. So I had to, that's when I went to the Patriots. Yeah. So I should have came.
Do you wish you took a little bit less money to come here?
It would have been a lot less money.
Oh.
So I think I did the right thing.
No, you got to get the bag while you're there.
Yeah, it would have been like a veteran minimum deal to come here, and I couldn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
We got bills to pay.
Yeah, bills to pay.
All right.
Can't do it.
And we have bills to pay. So when we come back, we're going to pay those and then talk a little bit more about them Bears. Because like I said, Bears, Bulls, Bears. We got some people on hold. Want to make sure we get to them as well. Show them due diligence. But the phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You got any thoughts on the Bears, the draft, or whatever we've been talking about with our guests? Would love to hear it, and we'll talk to you on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Clay Harbor. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Cannot afford a sack. And he finally does, throwing it out of bounds, trying to make something happen. You got no timeouts. The last thing that can happen if you're Fields or the Bears is give up a sack.
Yeah, and if you were reacting that way, how do you think Matt Eberflus was reacting?
Of course, that was the guys talking about Bears on Monday Night Football. Shout out Espen for doing that. You know what song this is, Clay?
Me and My Girlfriend? No?
It's a new one. Name's like Doshi or Dochi.
Who picked? Do you pick these songs? Do you pick this?
No.
Who's doing the song?
Alex Kuhn.
Alex knows about this?
You know. He knows I'm hip, so he would never play this for anybody else. He just... Sounds like he ripped it off of YouTube or something. Where'd you get it?
We have a whole system here with music. It's crazy. It's a novel concept, isn't it?
Yeah. Playing music. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, where did you get the exact song? Like, was it this?
I'm sure he probably just went into the new folder because Alex Kuhn does not know that song.
Yeah.
Probably just went into the new folder and it was there. Am I right or am I wrong?
Why don't I know that song?
Am I right or am I wrong?
Okay, you're right.
Thank you. See? Look at that.
Yeah.
I know how this works, bro. I know how this works. And I also know how these phone lines work.
It's not your first rodeo, huh?
Not at all. And I can tell you about that story a little bit later. But let's go out to the phone lines, man. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor hanging out. I asked him earlier his favorite team he played for. He said the Eagles, then the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like that.
Yeah.
Great story about the Bears. Maybe I can pluck the best story from when he was injured that he just told me. That was great. We'll do that in a little bit. But let's go out to the phone lines. We've been asking the question, Bears have two top 10 picks. That's for certain. Or should be. What should be two top 10 picks? What positions are you addressing with those picks? And maybe what thoughts do you have about the Chicago Bears? We'll chat with you guys for a little. Let's go to Jim out in Schaumburg. So, Jim, you have a different approach. You're not necessarily interested in a particular position. You just want them to do a particular something with the picks.
All right. Yeah. Let me ask you something. If they draft the number one or two top quarterbacks, is he going to be any better than Justin Fields with the coaching they got? And with the same system they got and with the same players they got? I don't think so. So what I would do, I would sell that first-round pick so I could pick up another number one for next year and maybe a number two for this year. I would draft the wide receiver. Then I would go in an edge rusher or an offensive lineman with the second pick or something like that.
Okay.
Because put it this way, I don't think with the coaching staff that they got, I don't care who you get in there, I don't think the quarterback is going to be any better than Fields.
I hear you, Jim. Thanks for the phone call. We know coaching matters, but you said you liked Eberflus. So you think the issue is Luke Getsy, or you think it's the whole staff?
I like Eberflus, but I think they just need more offensive-minded players. Like you look in Jacksonville again, when Doug Peterson came and took the job, Doug Peterson's an offensive coach. He played quarterback in the league. He knows how to play quarterback in the league. he brings in Jim Bob Cooter as an offensive assistant. Jim Bob Cooter was an offensive coordinator in the league. The actual offensive coordinator was Press Taylor. He was obviously a very well-known offensive. Then he brings in Mike McCoy, who used to be the head coach for the Denver Broncos when they had Peyton Manning and a former offensive coordinator. He had all these minds that came in around Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence went from 12 interceptions from, excuse me, 7 touchdowns, 12 interceptions his rookie year to a guy that won a playoff game and won 7 of his last 8 games. So the improvement that you see in Trevor Lawrence, to me, had as much to do with Trevor Lawrence getting better as it did is the people around him. I think you need to bring in, maybe Luke Getsy can improve, get better with the system, but you need more players, more people with experience. He's not that experienced in the league. Bring in a guy, a quarterback that's played before, have him on staff. Bring in another former offensive coordinator that has seen the league and seen different game plans instead of a guy that was an offensive coordinator when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback.
Quarterback's coach.
He was a quarterback's coach. You're not calling, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't need.
Yeah.
And he, at that point, he was MVP. Aaron Rodgers, been in the league for 10, 15 years. You're not coaching him up.
Yeah, it's like saying I'm a good host when my co-host is Clay Harbor. And it's like Clay Harbor carries the show.
Yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Just, like, why would you put me anywhere?
No, Michael Jordan, you know, obviously you say Phil Jackson. Maybe that's a bad analogy there, but
Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. A lot of people are coming
down. Yeah, you see that. You see Tom and Bill, but I think, you know, that was a symbiotic relationship.
Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes.
Jared Goff going from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay.
Yeah, there you go. So there's some differences there. But,
there you go. You need coaching matters.
Okay.
And what people need to realize, you draft Caleb Williams, it's going to be a process. Look, give me a quarterback that came in rookie up to C.J. Stroud this year.
But the difference, I think, also, right, where let's say you do go grab a Caleb Williams or Drake May.
It sets you back
using
at first.
I hate using the words for those names, but let's say you draft a quarterback in the first round. That quarterback, let's be very clear, is coming into a way better situation than Justin Fields is coming into.
Yeah.
Than Bryce Young was coming into this year. Like, they will have a good defense, like a Jalen Hurts. They will have weapons on the offensive side in Cole Kmet and DJ Moore. They will have a bona fide, you know, offensive line that will get bulked up next season. So it'll be a different situation, but it'll be interesting. Let's go back out to the phones, though. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Don. Don, talk to me about the draft and what your thoughts are.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
What up, Don?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying you at Fox TV, on your TV.
Yeah, on Fox. So what would you do with
on
the draft?
Unleashed.
Bears Unleashed. Yeah, it's a good show.
Yes. Yeah. To me, this is my advice. I wish I can talk to Eberflus. If Eberflus can go to the German and tell him, said, you see, the defense is good. The only thing I need now, I need a new offensive coordinator. And I'm going to give you a good offensive coordinator. If you can give me, if you can allow me to give
go
you
ahead. Who is it?
Offensive coordinator, yes, that will be good. So they can keep Justin, and he can draft the wide receiver from Alabama, and that guy with DJ as a receiver, they're gonna be all right.
Yeah,
so that's my view.
Okay, Don, I appreciate it. Better offensive coordinator, offensive minded coach, and a wide receiver to go with Justin Fields.
Here's what I will say about a coach, Gabe, and I'm saying keep Eberflus, but if you got an opportunity to get a guy like Jim Harbaugh,
right?
I'm sorry, Eberflus, you got to go. It's like, you know, you're dating this girl, but then like Jessica Alba wants to date you.
Like honey Jessica Alba or like 2023 Jessica Alba?
Honey Jessica Alba. Okay, you got to say, you know, babe, like I do care about you, but like this is Jessica, this is Beyonce.
Babe, I love you.
We're talking about, okay? So if Jim Harbaugh is a guy that's available and that name's been thrown around, maybe he wants to come back to the NFL. Like, who knows? This is a guy that was successful in different systems. Colin Kaepernick was not a guy that you sat back and you dropped back and passed.
At all.
And no, he's a guy that you had to have in a specific system, and that's what you need with Justin Fields. If someone can create a system, instead of trying to mold Justin into a system, mold the system into Justin. Okay, have the system set up to him.
But why is there so much pushback then, right? Because that seems to be the easy answer for everyone, right? That's like, dude, Luke Getsy, he's hard-headed. Oh, he's so arrogant. Oh, he's not creating a game plan around Justin Fields. Like, I'm sure he's trying to create a game plan around Justin Fields, but
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, but it, I guess I'm like, I hear that, and it's like, is he really being that arrogant and hard-headed that he's not doing that? Or is he...
Watch the Ravens. He needs to have a system like...
That's what I'm saying. Lamar or is he Jackson. Just not good enough at creating it, right? So to say he's not curating it to the skill set of Justin Fields is one thing. To say he's not doing a good job of curating the offense around Justin Fields, because maybe he is, and it's just not good enough.
So you're asking whether it's intentional or not?
No, I'm asking, what I'm saying is, because what we're saying is that he's not. I wish somebody would create an offense around Justin Fields. Like, let's say Luke Getsy is. But the plays that he's drawing up for that, the design, like him as the mastermind behind the offense, what he's cooking up for Justin Fields isn't good enough, is what I'm saying.
And Justin, it's not like Justin is all bad. Look at the Detroit game. Okay, Justin played a heck of a game going into that after he did the little shimmy.
I love the dance.
That's when, you know, things fell sideways. And you look at that, obviously we're talking about old stuff now. But look at the plays he called there. The two runs, then the deep ball to Tyler Scott. Maybe Fields could have hit DJ Moore on the under route. Different story. They beat the Lions. They beat the Vikings. Now people are saying, hey, maybe we do got a guy right here. But just a couple of different plays. If you call a couple of different plays, something that your quarterback's good at, I think this conversation could be different.
Okay. And we'll continue to talk about that. And people are going to – the beauty of the NFL is that there are still weeks left. And there's still evaluation to happen, and we get to see that firsthand. Bears have a bye week this week, come back against Detroit, and we'll be back on the evaluation train. But you know what? The same way the Bears are taking a break from themselves this week, this weekend, we are going to take a break for them also and chat a little bit of NBA. Coming up, Colin Ward-Henninger from CBS Sports is going to join us, who is a front runner to take some or all of the members of the Big Three for the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk to him next. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Clay Harbor. It's 670 The Score.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Cannot afford a sack, and he finally does, throwing it out of bounds, trying to make something happen. You got no timeouts. The last thing that can happen if you're Fields of the Bears is give up a sack.
Yeah, and if you were reacting that way, how do you think Matt Eberflus was reacting?
Of course, that was the guys talking about Bears on Monday Night Football. Shout out Espen for doing that. You know what song this is, Clay?
Me and My Girlfriend? No?
It's a new one. My name is like Doshi or Dochi.
Who picked? Do you pick these songs? Did you pick this?
No.
Who's doing the song?
Alex Kuhn.
Alex knows about this?
You know. He knows I'm hip, so he would never play this for anybody else. He just... Sounds like you ripped it off of YouTube or something. Where'd you get it?
Yeah, we have a whole system here with music. It's crazy. It's a novel concept, isn't it?
Yeah. Playing music.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, where did you get the exact song? Like, was it this?
I'm sure he probably just went into the new folder because Alex Kuhn does not know that song.
Yeah.
Probably just went into the new folder and it was there. Am I right or am I wrong?
Why don't I know that song?
Am I right or am I wrong?
Was okay, you're right.
Thank you. See? Look at that.
Yeah.
I know how this works, bro. I know how this works. And I also know how these phone lines work.
It's not your first rodeo, huh?
Not at all. And I can tell you about that story a little bit later. But let's go out to the phone lines, man. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's 9-year NFL vet Clay Harbor hanging out. I asked him earlier his favorite team he played for. He said the Eagles, then the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like that.
Yeah.
Great story about the Bears. Maybe I can pluck the best story from when he was injured that he just told me. That was great. We'll do that in a little bit. But let's go out to the phone lines. We've been asking the question, Bears have two top 10 picks. That's for certain. Should be two top 10 picks. What positions are you addressing with those picks? And maybe what thoughts do you have about the Chicago Bears? We'll chat with you guys for a little. Let's go to Jim out in Schaumburg. So, Jim, you have a different approach. You're not necessarily interested in a particular position. You just want them to do a particular something with the picks.
All right. Here, let me ask you something. If they draft the number one or two top quarterbacks, is he going to be any better than Justin Fields with the coaching they got? And with the same system they got and with the same players they got? I don't think so. So what I would do, I would sell that first-round pick so I could pick up another number one for next year and maybe a number two for this year. I would draft the wide receiver. Then I would go into edge rusher or an offensive lineman with the second pick or something like that.
Okay.
Because put it this way, I don't think with the coaching staff that they got, I don't care who you get in there, I don't think the quarterback is going to be any better than Fields.
I hear you, Jim. Thanks for the phone call. We know coaching matters, but you said you liked Eberflus. So you think the issue is Luke Getsy, or you think it's the whole staff?
I like Eberflus, but I think they just need more offensive-minded players. Like you look in Jacksonville again, when Doug Peterson came and took the job, Doug Peterson's an offensive coach. He played quarterback in the league. He knows how to play quarterback in the league. He brings in Jim Bob Cooter as an offensive assistant. Jim Bob Cooter was an offensive coordinator in the league. The actual offensive coordinator was Press Taylor. He was obviously a very well-known offensive. Then he brings in Mike McCoy, who used to be the head coach for the Denver Broncos when they had Peyton Manning and a former offensive coordinator. He had all these minds that came in around Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence went from 12 interceptions from... 7 touchdowns, 12 interceptions his rookie year to a guy that won a playoff game and won 7 of his last 8 games. So the improvement that you see in Trevor Lawrence, to me, had as much to do with Trevor Lawrence getting better as it did is the people around him. I think you need to bring in, maybe Luke Getsy can improve, get better with the system, but you need more players, more people with experience. He's not that experienced in the league. Bring in a quarterback that's played before. Have him on staff. Bring in another former offensive coordinator that has seen the league and seen different game plans instead of a guy that was an offensive coordinator when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback.
Quarterback's coach.
He was a quarterback's coach. You're not calling, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't need.
Yeah.
And he at that point, he was MVP. Aaron Rodgers been in the league for 10, 15 years. You're not coaching him up.
Yeah, it's like saying I'm a good host when my co-host is Clay Harbor. And like Clay Harbor carries the show,
yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Just like, why would you put me anywhere?
No, Michael Jordan, obviously you say Phil Jackson, maybe that's a bad analogy there, but
Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, a lot of people are coming
down.
Yeah,
you see that. You see Tom and Bill, but I think, that was a symbiotic relationship.
Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes.
Jared Goff going from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay.
Yeah. There you go. So there's some differences there. But,
there you go. You need coaching matters.
Okay.
And what people need to realize, you draft Caleb Williams, it's going to be a process. Look, give me a quarterback that came in rookie, CJ Stroud this year.
But the difference, I think also, right, where let's say you do go grab a Caleb Williams or Drake May.
It sets you back
at first. I hate using the words for those names, but let's say you draft a quarterback in the first round. That quarterback, let's be very clear, is coming into a way better situation than Justin Fields is coming into.
Yeah.
Than Bryce Young was coming into this year. Like, they will have a good defense, like a Jalen Hurts. They will have weapons on the offensive side in Cole Kmet and DJ Moore. They will have a bona fide, offensive line that will get bulked up next season. So it'll be a different situation, but it'll be interesting. Let's go back out to the phones, though. 312-644 67. Let's go to Don. Don, talk to me about the draft and what your thoughts are.
Hey, Gabe. How are you?
What up, Don?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying you at the Fox TV, on your TV.
Yeah, on Fox. So what would you do with
Unleashed,
the draft?
Unleashed.
Yeah, Bears Unleashed. Yeah, it's a good show.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, to me, this is my advice. I wish I can talk to Eberflus. You see, Eberflus can go to the general manager and tell him, and say, you see, the defense is good. The only thing I need now, I need a new offensive coordinator. And I'm going to give you a good offensive coordinator. If you can give me, if you can allow me to give
you who is it?
Offensive coordinator, yes, that will be good. So they can keep Justin, and he can draft the wide receiver from Alabama, and that guy with DJ as a receiver, they're going to be all right.
Yeah.
So that's my view.
Okay, Don. I appreciate it. Better offensive coordinator, offensive-minded coach, and a wide receiver to go with Justin Fields.
Here's what I will say about a coach, Gabe, and I'm saying keep Eberflus, but if you got an opportunity to get a guy like Jim Harbaugh,
right?
I'm sorry, Eberflus, you got to go. It's like, you know, you're dating this girl, but then like Jessica Alba wants to date you.
Like honey Jessica Alba or like 2023 Jessica Alba?
Honey Jessica Alba. Oh, okay, you got to say, you know, babe, like, I do care about you, but like this is Jessica, this is Beyonce.
Babe, I love you.
We're talking about, okay? So if Jim Harbaugh is a guy that's available and that name's been thrown around, maybe he wants to come back to the NFL. Like, who knows? This is a guy that was successful in different systems. Colin Kaepernick was not a guy that you sat back and you dropped back and passed
at all.
And no, he's a guy that you had to have in a specific system. And that's what you need with Justin Fields. If someone can create a system, instead of trying to mold Justin into a system, mold the system into Justin. Okay, have the system set up to him.
But why is there so much pushback then, right? Because that seems to be the easy answer for everyone, right? That's like, dude, Luke Getsy, he's hard-headed. Oh, he's so arrogant. Oh, he's not creating a game plan around Justin Fields. Like, I'm sure he's trying to create a game plan around Justin Fields. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but it. I guess I'm like, I hear that. And it's like, is he really being that arrogant and hard-headed that he's not doing that? Or is he...
The Ravens. He needs to have a system like...
That's what I'm saying. Lamar or is he Jackson. Just not good enough at creating it, right? So to say he's not curating it to the skill set of Justin Fields is one thing. To say he's not doing a good job of curating the offense around Justin Fields, because maybe he is, and it's just not good enough.
So you're asking whether it's intentional or not?
No, I'm asking, what I'm saying is, because what we're saying is that he's not. I wish somebody would create an offense around Justin Fields. Like, let's say Luke Getsy is. But the plays that he's drawing up for that, the design, like him as the mastermind behind the offense, what he's cooking up for Justin Fields isn't good enough, is what I'm saying.
And Justin, it's not like Justin is all bad. Look at the Detroit game. Okay, Justin played a heck of a game going into that after he did the little shimmy, the little shake.
I love the dance.
That's when, you know, things fell sideways. And you look at that, obviously we're talking about old stuff now, but you look at the plays he called there. The two runs, then the deep ball to Tyler Scott. Maybe Fields could have hit DJ Moore on the under route. Different story. They beat the Lions. They beat the Vikings. Now people are saying, hey, maybe we do got a guy right here. But just a couple of different plays. If you call a couple of different plays, something that your quarterback's good at, I think this conversation could be different.
Okay. And we'll continue to talk about that. And people are going to, the beauty of the NFL is that there are still weeks left and there's still evaluation to happen. And we get to see that firsthand. Bears have a bye week this week, come back against Detroit, and we'll be back on the evaluation train. But you know what? The same way the Bears are taking a break from themselves this week, this weekend, we are going to take a break for them also and chat a little bit of NBA. Coming up, Colin Ward Henninger from CBS Sports is going to join us, who is a front runner to take some or all of the members of the Big Three for the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk to him next. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Clay Harbor. It's 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.